And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon, everyone. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. We have open talk to begin the program today. Phone number 283-2525. A little bit later, we're going to be talking about National School Choice Week with our first guest. He is Andrew Campanella. He'll be with us a little bit later. And we're also going to talk to Ben Hill at Burnt Timbers Winery a little bit later on the program today. That's one of the many wineries that will be coming to Butler for WISR's Wine Festival, which is a week from Saturday, January 26th at the Butler Days Inn. This is, 13, 14 years now we've had the Wine Festival, something like that. It's a big deal. So anyway, we'll talk with Ben. I don't think Burnt Timbers has been with us before. I think that's a new winery, so we'll find out about them and where they are and so on later on the program today. But first, it's open talk, 283-2525. Wow, what a morning. Now, if you're a late riser, if you don't have to get up early or whatever, you may be surprised to know just how treacherous it was early this morning for a period of several hours. And it caught everyone by surprise, even the weather folks who had not predicted freezing drizzle and ice. They said maybe there was a chance of snow overnight. We didn't get any of that. But boy, along about 4:30 this morning, we started to get the freezing drizzle, and it built up very quickly on, anything that was outside. Vehicles were encased in ice. Roads, streets, sidewalks, parking lots, outdoor steps, back porches, everything just covered in ice. And boy, it was really treacherous. Not only difficult to drive if you were out and about well before dawn, but even difficult to walk. If you were on a sidewalk or a parking lot, just a glitter of ice. Almost all of the schools delayed today. A couple of them shut down. And then all of a sudden, once the salt trucks were out, we were below freezing, but it wasn't frigid. We had temperatures around 28, 29 degrees, just cold enough. And all it took was one quick pass by the salt truck, and, we were okay. It took a while to get everything salted down and the conditions acceptable, but it was really wild for a few hours this morning. One of the iciest conditions that I've ever driven in, I'll tell you that, coming to work today. Ooh. Well, no problem now, but as you heard Tracy say a few minutes ago, we could be looking at some more wintry weather tomorrow, and then I don't know about the weekend. They have their eyes on a developing storm. We'll see. Sometimes when they announce that so far in advance, I'm a little doubtful. It could be a pretty good one. There's no mention of snow accumulation totals yet, but we know it's going to get bitterly cold. That's by the weekend and the start of next week. Well, it's January, right? And we've been living a dream so far in January. Temperature is fairly mild for this time of year. Not a whole lot of snow, right? No. The most snow that we've had here came before Thanksgiving. It was that big wet snow that brought down all the trees and the power lines and led to the horrendous power outages across our region. Some people out of power for 3, 4, 5, 6 days. That was the biggest snow we've had. There's a little bit of snow on the ground right now. Some of it has melted off from the most recent snow a couple of days back. Well, we'll get a real taste of winter here over the next several days. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk on the program today, 283-2525. Things in the news today. Things that just make me shake my head. Have you heard about Nike's new sneakers? You haven't. Well, let me tell you about them. They're supposed to introduce them within the next, I don't know, next week or so, I guess. They're called Adapt to BB Nike sneakers. They are self-tying sneakers. Self-tying. You tighten them with an app on your iPhone. I'm not kidding you. I'm not making this up. You use your phone, an app on your phone, to tie your shoes. By the way, the suggested price for these new Nike self-lacing shoes, $350. So if you're in the market, there you go. Just contact the Nike people. Is there anything more ridiculous than this? Can you imagine anything more ridiculous than this? By the way, I haven't seen any of the shoes. I've seen pictures of them online. If your phone isn't handy, there are a couple of buttons on the side of the shoe that you can press. What are we coming to in this world? First, we have Alexa and all the Google devices. Now we've got self-lacing sneakers. You download the app and you can use your iPhone to tie your shoes. $350. Goodness gracious. Another thing that makes me shake my head. Have you heard the flap over the new Gillette razor ad? I have not seen the actual ad yet. It's available online if you want to see it. I've read about it. Gillette is replacing its longtime slogan. I think it's the best a man can get or something like that. Is that it? The best a man can get? We're talking about the razor people, okay? The Gillette Razor Company. They're replacing that, and they've got some new ads out that kind of redefine, well, this is what the company says, redefine manliness. So they're talking about some other things that, men could do, you know, showing them to be good fathers, gentle to their children, that sort of thing. This has created a flap among men's rights groups, some of whom say they're going to boycott Gillette because of this new ad campaign. Well, I can't think of anything more silly, really. And I really don't care about the ad campaign. Hey, I use a Gillette razor. I've used a Gillette razor for as long as I can remember. I do not use the 7-blade newfangled high-velocity razor. I don't know how many blades they have now. I go with the old reliable 2-blade. I don't know how many years I'm going to be able to buy blades for that razor, but that does me just fine. So they make good razors, as far as I'm concerned. I don't care what their ad slogan is. I don't think anybody's manhood is going to be challenged by a razor advertising campaign. And boycott? What's the matter with these people? You know, don't they have real lives? Don't they have real things to be concerned about, real problems in their lives that they've got to start a boycott Gillette campaign? Absolutely silly. I think so anyway. They should go out and buy a pair of $350 self-lacing sneakers. Steve Blass announced yesterday that he's going to be retiring from the broadcast booth following the end of this season with the Pirates. Quite the guy, Steve Blass. I was surprised to learn that he's the longest tenured broadcaster in the history of the Pirates. If someone had asked me that question yesterday, I would have probably said Bob Prince to start with. Or maybe for some of you folks who are a little older, Rosie Rosewell, I think, was the guy before Bob Prince. Prince used to talk about him. But no, it's not. It's Steve Blass. Steve Blass, who joined the Pirate organization in the minor leagues at the age of 18, made his major league debut with the big club, the Pittsburgh Pirates, at the age of 22 in 1964. Pitched the Pirates to victory over the Baltimore Orioles in the World Series in 1971. He was a real World Series hero. And after he retired, he joined the Pirates broadcast team. And he's been with them for, I think it's 34 years now. 34 years? Longest tenured broadcaster in Pittsburgh Pirate history. Mainly a color man, as opposed to play-by-play, but very knowledgeable and a joy to listen to. You know, we've carried Pirate Baseball here on WISR, the Pirate Radio Network, for many, many, many years. Delight to listen to Steve Blass. So he just said, well, he and his wife think it's time to step down and smell the roses, and who can blame him for that? After 60 years in the Pirate organization, I guess he's still going to stick around and be some kind of an ambassador or something like that, probably make the occasional public appearance. But after the end of this season, no more in the broadcast booth. Actually, he had cut back a couple of years ago. He was only doing home games, not going on road trips anymore. Good guy, huh? All-around good guy. Would you agree? Steve Blass. Open talk on the It's Your Turn program. First portion of it today. 283-2525 is our number. I made the day before, I made a phone call to somebody, and they weren't there. So I got the voicemail message, you know, everybody knows that. Not available to come to the phone right now, you know. Please leave a message. And then I got this message. Press 8 to prove that you are not a telemarketer. Anybody ever heard that before when they made a phone call? Called a business or an individual? First time I'd ever heard it. In fact, it kind of took me by surprise. Press 8 to prove that you are not a telemarketer. So I pressed 8, and then I left my message. But that was something new to me. Kind of like you see on some websites, you know, whenever you're responding and they have you read one of those goofy letter things, you know, where the numbers are slightly distorted and the letters are slightly distorted, and they want you to read that and type it in to prove that you're not a robot. So there we are. What are we coming to in this day and age here in American society? Self-lacing shoes for $350. Press 8 to prove that you're not a robot. and boycott Gillette because of their new ad campaign. What a world we live in, huh? My goodness. Open talk here at 283-2525 to begin the program today. 283-2525. One of our sponsors today is Gone Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. What a convenience. I've utilized their service. It's excellent. They package your items for shipping. So you don't have to worry about hunting around for the right size box or the padded envelope or the bubble wrap or any of that stuff. Just take your items to Gone Postal Butler. They'll package them up and ship them for you. U.S. Postal Service, UPS, FedEx, your choice. I'll take care of it. They're located right behind the Kings and Villa Grande restaurants. That's just off Newcastle Road here in Butler. They're in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. Open Monday through Friday. Phone 724-841-0044. They're good people. They also offer a copying and scanning service, faxing. You can run a temporary mailbox there, too. Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. Okay, let's get to the people here today. Open talk at 283-2525. Caller, this is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Dave. I'm calling in regard to that Press 8. That is the best thing that was ever instituted, and once you have that service, there are no more robocalls.
So I have to be honest with you, I never even heard about it before. How did you, obviously you've signed up for it, I guess, huh?
I haven't. Actually, I was thinking, I thought you had somebody on your station from Armstrong. But if not, I had a friend that had it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nominal fee, very nominal fee, certainly worth the money. And I just called and asked for the service, and they put it on, and my, oh my, amazing. I have not had one robocall since.
Hmm. Now, you got that through Armstrong, you say, their phone service?
Right. Right.
Okay. Well, I don't. I'm an Armstrong subscriber for TV and for internet, but I do not have their phone service. I have. Okay. I just have a cell phone. I don't have a landline anymore.
Well, maybe one of these days, because I notice I am getting more calls, more robocalls on my cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Not since Christmas, really. But I know they don't have it yet for the cell phones. I would certainly use it if, you know, if they had it, I would put it on that as well.
Yeah.
But that's where you get it. And I think, to my knowledge, that's the only one of the phone services. I don't understand why. But to my knowledge, that's the only one that offers that.
Well, Armstrong's phone service, it's an internet service. So they're,
right.
You know, they're able to do that sort of thing. And you say it's just a nominal fee per month?
I think it's like $2.50 or... Yes, it's in my mind, that's very nominal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, the call that I made, like I say, was either yesterday or the day before, I forget. That's the first time I had ever encountered that, and it kind of took me by surprise, you know. Press 8 to prove that you're not a telemarketer. Mm-hmm. And I said, wow, how about that? That's pretty neat. Well, listen.
I neglected to tell my children that I had done it. And when once they got through, they said, Mother, what have you done? But anyhow, it does work. Well, you have a good day.
Thanks for the info. Appreciate
it. You're certainly welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 283-2525, our number, Open Talk, 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave. This is Larry.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
I'm good. It's just a little bit of information. A couple days ago on Coffee with Kate, you were talking about a song, Girl from Ipanema. I don't know whether it was Monday or last week one day.
I was talking about it. I can't remember the Girl from Ipanema is the name of the song, yeah.
Yeah, you couldn't remember who wrote it?
The writer
of it was Antonio Carlos Jobim.
He just died within the past couple of weeks, which is why I had mentioned it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And there was some confusion because there have been some pretty famous arrangements and versions of that tune, you know, down through the years. But the guy that wrote it, if that's who it was, just died within the past couple of weeks.
I had just listened to it that morning.
Mm-hmm. It's a great song, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, Stan Getz on saxophone.
Stan Getz had a great version of it. Astrid Gilberto had a
they were together.
Vocal arrangement of it with Stan Getz. Yeah. Good stuff. Well, thanks for the info on that. I appreciate.
Okay. Have a good day.
Okay. So long. 283-2525 is our number. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Thanks for waiting. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
I'm calling about that Dolly.
Yes,
I had called a local business, and he had it on his, so I thought when I moved into my new home, I thought that's what I need because I'm tired of those calls. So I ordered it from Armstrong, but it had one flaw. I have a friend who's blind,
mm-hmm.
and she could not dial 8 back to get through to me.
Mm. Well, in most cases, it's a...
It would work. It probably works very well. And I just wanted to say that's just the only flaw. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, probably she has I don't know anybody has a dial phone anymore. It's press 8, you know, on your
Yes,
keyboard.
That's right. She has a phone that she talks to that, you know, she'll tell, has a name she calls and she'll say, get me. So-and-so.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm familiar with that.
She doesn't dial at all, so I don't know why, but she lives away, and I didn't like keeping it because she was really concerned about it.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
her daughter called me and said that she evidently, maybe she's totally blind, so, you know, maybe it was just a worry to her, so I quit. And boy, I got calls from, I know, and I don't know how they're keeping the numbers. I think people are turning in their landlines, and these telemarketers are taking their numbers, and they're not changing the names. Because I've got a couple calls from people I know have died, and they evidently canceled their phones, and these other people. I don't know how they're doing that. I think Armstrong needs to look into that.
You mean this is the number that shows up on caller ID? Is that what
you're
talking about?
Yeah, caller ID with the person's name. Mm-hmm. Now, the people that, one of the people I got a call from, I knew them. It was my sister-in-law's granddaughter who was married to this man.
Mm-hmm.
And they had stopped their landline and just have a cell phone. His father had. It was the same name. His
mm-hmm.
father had.
Mm-hmm.
And the father was still living, but I called my sister-in-law because there was, I thought maybe it was a trouble in the family. And she couldn't get hold of me from where she was, so I called that called her to tell her about that number later on,
mm-hmm.
Coming up with her grandson-in-law's name on it. And she said that his father and mother, whose number it was, had canceled landline and were just gone by the cell phone. They've got to do something about that, because that's
kind of scary. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. They're keeping the names. And like I said, I know people have come up over the past year, a couple of them that I know have died, and their names are coming up on the cell phone.
Well, I don't think that has anything to do with Armstrong. I don't pretend to understand the technology behind their phone operation, other than that I know it's phone lines over the internet. But the phone number itself, that would be the phone company.
Well, on Armstrong, it comes up with the name and the number.
Well, yes, caller ID, some caller IDs do that, yes.
Yeah.
But there's such a wide variety of phone technologies today. You know, some folks still have a landline. Some folks still have really old phones. Some folks have the latest smartphones, which, give you the name, the number, the birthplace, and the date of birth, I think, of the person that calls you. They have so many bells and whistles on them. But
the only thing that concerns me is they're calling and they're wanting you to buy something or something, and they see that name on there and say, well, that's John, I know him.
Yeah, that's legitimate.
And it's not, I don't know how they're possibly not checking that number. Now, these people that I'm talking about live in the Butler area. They could have had CenturyLink, and they could have had Armstrong. There's no other phone company. Well, Verizon, but mm-hmm. out in that area where they live, I don't think Verizon is. So,
well, I'll have to see if I can get some more info on that. But I know when I dropped my landline, and it was many, many, many years ago, it was probably 12, 15 years ago now, I was still able to keep the phone number that I had, even though that I switched, to a wireless service. So, well, we'll see if we get some more information on it.
The only thing about that is I answered these calls, and it was a telemarketer on them. That's what I'm saying. It's not that those people are keeping their number.
Mm-hmm.
I'm answering the calls of the people, like the witchy thing, the one I was talking about. I answered that when it was somebody wanting me to put on, might have been even one of the ones scaring me about the taxes. You know how they call and say the tax people are going to come and get you.
What a nuisance, huh? They ought to throw those people in jail.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, but I think that's a big mess when people quit the landline and
Thanks for the call. I really appreciate the information on that. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Bye-bye. 283-2525 is our number. Caller, thanks for your patience. I know you've been waiting there. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Afternoon, Dave.
Howdy.
I'm calling in reference to your last caller.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally blind. I don't know if her friend's aware of it. Cordless phone or touch tone phone. You know how you have a home row on your keyboard?
Yes, uh-huh.
There's a home row on your telephone. Number 5 has a little bump on it. 4, 5, and 6 is your home row.
Mm-hmm.
So you put your 3 fingers on that home row, and you can reach the numbers from, being on that home row.
I was going to ask her if her friend didn't have, and I wasn't quite sure of the terminology. I was going to say, you know, something like a Braille phone where they, you know, and I mean, you'll be familiar with this because of your vision impaired. You know, elevators now have the buttons that you push for the floor have Braille bumps on them, so you can tell whether, you know, it's the fourth floor or the eighth floor or whatever. And I'm sure there are some phones that have that anyway.
Yeah, well, they're, like I said, any phone today has that home row, 4, 5, and 6, and the number, how you find it is a little bump on number 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know if she uses a smartphone or what kind of, if she's using a cell phone, but there is a keyboard, if you slide your finger there, that you can, you know, dial that way too, so you can find it that way. But
well, if you could,
lots of little tricks.
If you knew where 4, 5, and 6 were, you know, you could easily determine the other numbers, just like if you knew how to type, you know.
That's right.
If you
yep.
put your fingers yep. on the home row when you're typing, if you're a skilled typist, you can get to all the other letters automatically, you know.
Well, that's what we do for the keyboard for the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Put Velcro on the J and the F.
Uh-huh.
Home row.
Huh.
And there you go.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing with us, my friend. Appreciate the call. Good to talk with you today.
Nice talking to you. Have a great day.
And you too. You too. Well, lots of good information from listeners today. That's terrific. I learned a little bit about this. And I learned that where the Press 8 comes from. We're a couple of minutes away from the top of the hour here, and we're just about out of time. I think we might be able to squeeze one more call in here before we go to our first guest. Caller, you've got the last word. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
I get telemarketing calls often.
Mm-hmm.
And when you make a phone call, you can type in the number and whatever you want there. And I get a lot of, I'm in Meridian area, so 482. I get a lot of calls from 482, and they're telemarketers.
Yeah.
And the way you find out is you call them back, and they say, this number cannot be reached by this method, or this number has been disconnected.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing is a relative of mine has service, I think it's through Armstrong, but I'm not 100% sure on that. And when she gets a phone call, it flashes the number and the name on the television screen. And it also announces it out loud, who's calling. But I don't know who she gets it from.
I think Armstrong
has... no handicap, so it's...
Armstrong has that service, I believe. I'm not sure whether it's their EXP or whether they have other, you know, platforms that offer that, but I know it is available through them. Yeah.
Now, if I'm home and I'm sitting there and the phone's handy, I will answer it. And I'll just hold it up to the TV. I'll just hold it up. And I'm using up their minutes. But, and you know, but nobody says hello. They hang up. So I'm trying to play the game, too. I don't know.
Good for you.
All right.
Thanks, my friend. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, quick break. And then our first guest will join us. We're going to be talking with Andrew Campanella about National School Choice Week. You know, the It's Your Turn program on WISR. Stick around. We'll be right back.
If you're thinking about buying a car, truck, or SUV, or even if you just bought one, make sure you check out the great rates at Armco Credit Union. Through February 28th, you can get a 60-month loan on new and used vehicles for as low as 2.24 annual percentage rate. We'll even refinance your loan from another financial institution. It's never been easier to join, so call today for other rates and terms or visit us at armcocu.com to become a member. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and federally insured by NCUA.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
In the new year, make a resolution to be better informed. Bookmark PAPost.org and make it part of your daily reading. While you're at it, subscribe to The Context so you'll receive a curated list of important stories in your inbox every day. You can be confident that the reporting you receive from PA Post is trustworthy because PA Post is a nonprofit, nonpartisan news organization whose first priority is to report on Pennsylvania policies and issues, holding those in power accountable. Jump in at PAPost.org.
Your daughter looks up to you. She loves that you love soccer. You're her MVP. Together, you can take on underage drinking. From ages 8 through 11, kids are most open to parents' messages about alcohol. So learn the facts and defend her against the harms of alcohol. Take your best shot at underage drinking, one-on-one. Talk with your kids about alcohol. Learn more at knowwhennohow.org. A message from the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board.
Coming up on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, I'm Dave Malarkey. Our guest is Andrew Campanella, who is the president of National School Choice Week. Andrew, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us here today.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So National School Choice Week is coming up this month of January. Just what is it, Andrew?
Well, let's talk first about what is school choice. And school choice is so important because every child deserves a great education. A great education helps kids to be inspired, be happy, and be successful, and that is so important. But everybody learns differently. Some students might succeed in one type of school, while another student might do better in a completely different environment. So school choice means that families choose the schools that best meet the individual needs of their kids. And during School Choice Week, we provide a time for families to explore all of those options and see what's out there.
Well, don't parents already have the right to do that, school choice?
They do, and that's what we want people to know about. We want to let families know that they have these choices. So this is a public awareness week. The goal is to let parents know about their options and let them know that if they want to choose a new or different school for their kids, they need to get the process started because there are so many different types of schools out there, especially in Pennsylvania. Schools with different instructional styles, different curriculum, different approaches to getting students involved and interested, and even different themes. And most of these schools that we're talking about are within the public sector. So you have traditional public schools, charter schools, magnet schools, virtual schools. All of those types of schools are completely tuition-free. And in Pennsylvania, you can even get a state-funded scholarship to send your child to a private school. Of course, you can also homeschool. So there are six different options right there.
Yes, when folks are thinking about options, the first thing that might pop to mind is a private or parochial school. Of course, there are tuition payments there. But some of these others are tuition-free, Andrew?
They are. For example, there are open enrollment policies, meaning you can choose a school, a public school in a different district. You don't have to pay for that. Charter schools are free public schools that charge no tuition. Magnet schools are theme-based schools focused on things like math, science, the performing arts. Those are free public schools. And online schools, where you can log in online, connect with a teacher, have classmates all on the internet, those are tuition-free as well. Pennsylvania also has a state-funded scholarship program called the EITC, Educational Improvement Tax Credit Program. And there's an organization called the REACH Foundation. They do some great work in providing scholarships to students, as well as hundreds of different scholarship organizations throughout the state, so that families who are in lower and middle-income families can afford those private schools. So there are a lot of options out there, but parents have to get the process started now for the next school year. If you wait until summer break, you'll run out of time.
For families who indeed choose some of these other options, does that end up hurting financing for our regular brick-and-mortar public schools?
Well, as I was mentioning, most of those choices are within the public system. So we're talking about public schools, charters, magnets, and virtual schools all being public schools. And in terms of the private school scholarships, those scholarships are funded by corporations. So there is really no detriment to traditional public schools. And in fact, all these options are providing public education with opportunities to expand and grow.
Is there a master list somewhere for parents? How can they find out the more details about some of these options?
Well, the first thing they can do is go on our website, which is schoolchoiceweek.com. If they click on In Your State and then choose Pennsylvania, they can download a school choice guide for the state of Pennsylvania. It's completely free. You can find out all the different policies, all the different options. And then once you do that, you can take a look at our map and see who's celebrating School Choice Week, what types of schools are involved in your area, and call them up and see if they might be open to you visiting. There are also other schools, other sites out there like Great Schools, where families can look at all the different schools in their zip code and surrounding areas.
Some people might be a little bit confused from the terms school choice and school vouchers. They're different. Can you talk about that, Andrew Campanella?
Absolutely. So school choice is really just the process of families making decisions about what type of school is right for their kids. And they can choose from a menu of options in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania: district schools, charter schools, magnet schools, private schools, online academies, and homeschooling. When people talk about school vouchers, they're talking about one subset of one of those types of schools, private schools, where parents get a scholarship to send their kids to a private school. It could be an independent private school or a faith-based private school. So private school choice is one component of the broader discussion of school choice. But school choice really is just the process of picking. And we don't choose what schools are best. We let parents make those decisions because every child is different, and what might work for one kid might not work for another.
Some states have voucher programs, others do not. Pennsylvania does not at this point, right?
Pennsylvania has a corporate-funded tax credit scholarship program, which basically means that companies can pay money into different scholarship funds and get a tax credit for doing that, and then those scholarship funds provide private school tuition scholarships to low- and middle-income families so they can send their kids to private schools. And I think more than 40 or 50,000 kids are benefiting from that program in the state right now.
We're talking about National School Choice Week coming up January 20th through 26th across the country. Andrew Campanella is our guest. You mentioned charter schools. Andrew, how can charter schools be tuition-free? How are they funded?
Charter schools are public schools, and they're funded based on demand. So if a certain number of parents choose charter schools for their kids, they tap into state and local funding for those schools because they're public schools. And charter schools are similar to district schools. They have to follow many of the same rules, but they have the ability to be a little bit more innovative in coming up with different curriculum, different instructional methods, different ways to keep students inspired, and they provide a different choice for families. So charter schools are public schools. They're financed similarly. But there's no guarantee that if a charter school is not popular, that it will continue to get funding because it really relies on parent demand. And most charter schools across the country have more than enough demand. There are often waiting lists to get in, which is one of the reasons we want families to start the process now so they can get on those waiting lists and so schools can see the demand and they can expand.
I'm familiar with the term magnet schools, theme-based schools. I'm not familiar with transitional public schools, which you mentioned. What are they, Andrew?
Traditional public schools, similar to the neighborhood school, the community school that I went to growing up and that most folks attend, actually. Most kids attend traditional public schools. And a lot of kids attend charter schools, magnet schools. You also have a strong number of kids attending private schools, growing number attending those online academies, and homeschooling actually continues to grow every year, too.
No wonder I was confused. It was a typo on the information that I had. It said...
That's okay. It could have been me.
Well, it said transitional instead of traditional. So I understand now what we're talking about. What about parents who decide to homeschool? Are they totally on their own in terms of financing that, Andrew Campanella?
In terms of financing, yes. But there are more supports and support systems available for homeschooling families now than there ever have been. Homeschooling families are members of groups and collaboratives and cooperatives and online communities where they can talk with each other, share best practices, where students can get together in person and learn together, where they go on field trips together. They have sports teams and proms and all the things that many kids do in traditional bricks and mortar schools. And so if a parent is nervous about homeschooling, they should at least know that there are a lot of resources out there for homeschoolers.
Are all charter schools online, or are some of them actually brick-and-mortar buildings?
In fact, most charter schools are brick-and-mortar buildings, and you can drop your kid off at that charter school in the morning or have the bus pick them up just like you would a traditional public school. Same goes with the magnet schools. They're primarily bricks-and-mortar schools. Some of those charter schools are online schools. A fraction of them are. And Pennsylvania is one of the states that does offer full-time, statewide, tuition-free online learning.
Talking about online learning and homeschooling, some parents might be concerned about socialization issues. I mean, most of us realize that you learn a lot about dealing with other people and other kids whenever you're in school. And if you're being schooled at home or online, maybe you don't have that opportunity. Is that a concern for some parents, Andrew?
I think all parents are concerned about making sure that their kids have friends and that they get out and interact with other kids. And what I see in the homeschooling movement now is kids who are often so busy interacting with other students, going on field trips, doing collaborative learning exercises, that's not a concern at all. People are getting together on homeschooling sports teams, going to group activities, going on field trips together. So many different ways where homeschooling and virtual schooled kids can get together with other students and socialize. So a lot of those challenges and concerns are valid, but when you look at the real-life application of homeschooling, the story is very different and really exciting.
Andrew Campanella has served as president of National School Choice Week for several years now, going on 7 years. Why is National Schools Choice Week held in January? We're about halfway through the current school year now.
Sure. School Choice Week is held in January of every year because if parents want to make a choice for the next school year, starting in August or September of 2019, they need to actually start looking right now in January. So if you want to choose a different school for your child, or if you even want to explore your options, start now. It will give you enough time to search for schools. And during School Choice Week, there are more than 40,000 different events and activities all across the country at schools held by community organizations where parents can learn more about successful learning environments in their areas.
One final question, Andrew. Is National School Choice Week, this effort that you're spearheading, is this political or partisan in any way?
No, we're nonpartisan, non-political. We think that we need to keep politics out of these important decisions between parents and their kids about where to go to school. So we celebrate all types of schools, and we don't preference one over another, and we want people to use School Choice Week as a chance to look at their options in a neutral way. And we hope folks will go to schoolchoiceweek.com and download a guide to school choice in Pennsylvania or in any other state.
What was that website again?
schoolchoiceweek.com.
Andrew Campanella speaking with us on It's Your Turn today. Thank you, Mr. Campanella. Nice to talk with you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Sure. So long now.
Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
Butler Transit now provides weekday transportation to and from Pittsburgh for just $5 one way. No worrying about traffic or expensive parking fees. Free Wi-Fi is also available. Park at a convenient park and ride or hop on the bus at the downtown bus terminal. Senior 65 and up, ride free with a senior pass. For more information, visit butlertransit.com.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Welcome back on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. And if you're just joining us, my name is Dave Malarkey. We're going to be chatting with Ben Hill at Burnt Timbers Winery. It's one of the wineries going to be coming to Butler for our WISR Wine Festival a week from Saturday. Ben Hill, nice to meet you. Great to be able to talk with you for a few minutes here today, sir.
Thank you, Dave. Good to be with you. Appreciate you having me.
Burnt Timbers Winery, I don't think you've been here to Butler for our wine festival previously, have you?
We have not, no. This will be our first time in Butler, and our business is about a year and a half old here, or young, I guess I should say.
Well, our wine festival has just taken off and grown over the past 13, 14 years, and it's become a really, really big event now at the end of January every year. Tell us about Burnt Timbers Winery. Where are you located, Ben Hill?
Yeah, so, Dave, we're in the middle part of Pennsylvania, about 30 miles south of State College, outside of a little town of Lewistown. And we started, as I mentioned, about a year and a half ago on my grandparents' farm. And just saw the opportunity there. There was some land. We restored the old barn and turned that into our tasting room. And my brother and I have been at this now for a couple year and a half, but we were making wine a few years before that. So it's been a fun venture so far.
I love your name, Burnt Timbers. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about where that name comes from?
Sure, yeah. So you know, again, it was my grandparents' farm, and my grandmother had 10 children. And the little farmhouse there we restored, which we rent out on VRBO, she happened to catch the kitchen on fire when she had the kids in the house, was cooking supper. And when we restored it, we kept the old beams exposed that were burned. And so we figured Burnt Timbers, what a perfect name for the winery as well as the cottage, so that's what the name stems from.
I can remember when I was a kid reading about Native American Indian culture. There were tribes that used to make their canoes by burning out logs. I don't recall the exact process, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and that actually it's on our website as that as well. It kind of carries two meanings. It's both the burnt timbers of the old farmhouse as well as how the Native Americans went about making their canoes. So, yep, that carries that meaning as well.
Well, tell us about some of the
kind of ties into our logo there, too, as well, Dave. If you take a look at our logo, it's got kind of a burning canoe, and that's supposed to represent that.
Really nice, yeah. Really nice. Well, tell us about some of the wines that you have available and some of them that you might be bringing to Butler for the big wine festival a week from Saturday.
Yeah, so we, at this point, again, we're a pretty new business. We've got about 14 or 15 different varieties, anywhere from a red, white. We've got fruit wines, we've got dry wines, we've got sweet wines. And so when we come to Butler here in a couple of weeks, we're going to bring we typically bring 8 or 9 or so when we travel. And so we'll have a combination of some of those different wines with us.
Are fruit wines becoming more popular at domestic wineries now?
They are, yeah. I think it's just kind of it's especially a way that I think with the many different wineries popping up, it's a way for us to kind of allow us to have something different than maybe a neighboring winery. So, and they've been really well received. And so we now have probably 4 different fruit wines in our portfolio at this point.
I was checking your website earlier today, and I saw apple wine. That looked kind of good. And the cherry wine was another one that I saw, too, that sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And then we made a blend of apple and cherry, and we called it Chapel. A little play on words there, Dave. But, yeah, they've been well-received, and we had a pair that was popular that we just ran out of. So I think that's something, as we move forward into the future, we'll continue to make those wines.
Do you have a vineyard there, or do you bring in the juice, as many of the regional wineries do?
Yeah, we've got a 110-acre farm, and so we've got some grapes growing there. We're just trying to figure out what's going to grow the best. Our aspirations are to grow more grapevines, but at this point, I guess that's mainly for aesthetics, and we harvest a little bit of that, but 99% of what we get would be in the form of juice coming into our winery.
How about the climate there outside of your town? By the way, I ate dinner there last year, and I can't remember the name of the restaurant. But some fraternity brothers knew this place, and we drove down to Lewistown, and it was an excellent meal. I know a little bit about where you're located, but I don't know much about the climate or the soil. Is it conducive to vineyards there?
Yeah, I mean, it would be for certain varieties, right? So, you know, I think that's part of what we're learning right now. We're finding that some Vidal Blanc grows quite well, where some of the cabs and different, you know, varietals don't do so well. So we're really kind of in that exploratory phase of figuring out what's going to do the best, considering how cold the region is.
You said you and your brother had been making wine for a while before you actually started the business. How did that happen? Was it a family tradition, or you just decided to try that, or what happened there, Ben?
Yeah, so we were doing it just as hobbyists and for fun, and, you know, I'm kind of this burning entrepreneur, so I still have a day job. My brother is full-time at this point within the winery, but you know, we were making it for fun, but in the back of my mind, I knew we had this land and there was just great potential there. And in my mind, I wanted to get to a place to where we were making good wine. And then when we got to that point, we decided to kind of pursue it further. So, yeah, we were making wine for 3 or 4 years before we went and opened our winery.
There has been a virtual explosion of local wineries across Pennsylvania over the past decade, has there not?
There has. It's been a lot of new wineries popping up in the last number of years, for sure.
You have dry wines and also sweet wines?
We do. Yep, we have a combination of both.
From what I'm not a wine connoisseur. I like a glass of wine, but I certainly don't claim to be tremendously knowledgeable. But people tell me that people who have enjoyed wine for many, many years, they tend to be the type that prefer the drier wines. Is that right?
Yeah, it seems to be that way. It seems to, for folks that drink wine for a long period of time, it seems their palate might shift from a sweeter wine to a drier over time. You know, but I will say this, Dave, probably 75% of the wine that we sell in the region that we're in is mostly sweet wine. Mm-hmm. But with that said, we certainly have dry wines. My brother and I are passionate about dry wines. We like dry wines. But from a business standpoint, we still sell predominantly more sweet wine.
Yeah, well, I didn't mean to get into the debate on which is better.
I understand. Just kind of stating the situation. We certainly have both. And, whoever walks through our front door, I feel like we can accommodate whatever that palate would be, whether it be sweet or dry, you know, white or red, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I kind of prefer the sweeter, not really, really sweet, but I guess sweeter would be the proper mm-hmm. description. So some folks may be traveling through that part of Pennsylvania during the coming year. Might like to stop in and see you. Is your winery open on a regular basis, Ben?
It is. We're open year-round. We're open currently from Thursday through Sunday. And at this point, we do events mostly in the summer months. We've got, like I said, a fair amount of land there. And so we have bands and whatnot out in the grassy area outside of the winery or the tasting room. And in the winter months, we've got a nice little taste room with a fireplace and some couches, et cetera. So it's a nice place no matter what time of the year. And, of course, as I mentioned, we have that cottage that sits right next door to the winery as well.
Mm-hmm. I love to visit wineries. It's a very relaxing way to spend a Saturday or even a few days of vacation. Yeah, love it.
Yeah, for sure.
And especially with an old barn like you have there, I'd like to see that. So you're about 30 miles south of Penn State, I guess, right?
You got it. Yep, exactly.
What's the exact address?
The address is 45 Fisher B Lane, and it's in a little town of Granville. And that sits just outside of Lewistown.
So not too far off 322, I guess, huh?
Exactly. It's exactly 8 miles off of 322.
Well, we will certainly look forward to welcoming you to Butler for the first time for our WISR Wine Festival a week from Saturday, Ben. And I'll make sure and look up your booth and say hi.
Sounds good, Dave. We look forward to being there, and I appreciate you having me on today.
Oh, it's our pleasure. It's our pleasure. Thanks much, Ben. So long.
Okay, take care.
Ben Hill from Burnt Timbers Winery. Sounds like a really nice guy, doesn't he? Yeah. First time I've had a chance to talk to him. We'll take a quick break here, and I'll tell you about the Butler County WISR Wine Festival coming up. One of our sponsors on the program today is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. They're a thrift store located in the Greater Butler Mart on Route 8 South. Now, always welcoming your donations of unwanted items, whether it's clothing or furniture or even knickknacks, you know, picture frames, glassware, that sort of thing. They don't take TVs, obviously, anymore, but just about anything else. And there are people who will be able to use these items, perhaps purchase them at a price they might not ordinarily be able to afford. And here's the best part of all. The proceeds, every penny of the proceeds of the operation of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store stay right here in our area to help fund the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank and their client aid program. So it's really a great deal. Their thrift store is open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. There's tons of free parking right outside the door, and the drop-off bins are right inside the door. Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store, Greater Butler Mart, Route 8, just south of Butler. I'll be back to tell you about the wine festival after this.
They have spent a lifetime caring for others, and now the time has come for others to care for them. LifeSteps Adult Day Health Services, a trusted provider of senior care for over 30 years, can help. Families are comforted knowing their loved one will be safe, receive meals, be medically monitored, and enjoy socialization. All designed to enhance their life in a comfortable, relaxed setting. Free trial visits. Call LifeSteps today at 724-283-1010 or visit lifesteps.net.
The WISR Wine Festival is Saturday, January 26th. That's a week from this Saturday. It takes place at the Butler Days Inn. There are two sessions. When we first started this festival, we had one session, but after a couple of years, we realized that the crowds were so big, we needed two sessions. So there's going to be an afternoon session from 2 to 5, and then an evening session from 6 to 9. You can attend to whichever one is more convenient for you. Some folks like to come in the daytime, other folks during the evening. Pre-sale tickets are available. You can get them for $20 here at WISR. Now, with that ticket, you get a wine tasting glass. You get access to all of the booths, the many wineries that will be there. Each will have their own booth set up, and they'll have lots of samples. They also have bottles of wine available for purchase, of course, but the samples come with your ticket, $20, purchased in advance here at WISR. At the door, they'll be $25, so you can save $5 by getting them in advance, and you can get them online, too, at WISR680.com/winefest. So, once again, it is Saturday, January 26th at the Butler Days Inn, a week from this Saturday. We hope to see you there. We've had a lot of fun there over the years. And we'll keep our fingers crossed that it's not icy that day like it was early this morning. Wow. Hey, we thank our guests for being with us today. Andrew Campanella with information on the National School Choice Week. And Ben Hill from Burnt Timbers Winery. Doesn't that sound like a nice place? In the Juniata Valley. I'm Dave Malarkey. No Penguin hockey until, what, Friday? When they're in Arizona. Ben's lost last night if you stayed up to listen late. First time they've lost two games in a row in, I don't know, must be close to a couple of months. Okay. We've got regular programming coming up, and we hope we can be with us tomorrow for It's Your Turn. We're scheduled to chat with the president of Butler County Community College tomorrow, Dr. Nick Neupower. I'm Dave Malarkey. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 1230 to 130, right here on WISR 680.
Most of the time, and the feeling is laid back. Palm trees grow and rents are low, but you know, keep thinking about making my way back. Well, I'm New York City born and raised, but nowadays I'm lost between two shores. LA is fine.